Amen. We're glad to be here with you guys. And I envy Brother Corey's beard. You know, I tried doing that on the field, brother, and it just didn't go well. But you do it very well. So thank you for wearing a nice beard. In fact, my wife said, Tony, it makes you look 10 years older. And when she told me that, it was off. It was done. I don't need to look 10 years older. My hair's already gray. So, but we are glad to be here with you, my wife and I. Christy, down here in the front. Sorry, I did not bring my five children and the service dog with us. We had the plans to come back in June, and right after we got off the plane in Chicago, we came down with COVID, and it kind of ran through our entire family. So we had to get through all of that before we could start traveling. But I get a second honeymoon with my wife. So we're excited about that. And, you know, it's been quiet. And quiet. When you're used to having five, you know, there's four teenagers, one preteen around the house while our oldest is off at college. You know, it gets pretty hectic. We have them in a Christian school this year, so thankful they get the opportunity to do that. But it's been crazy. We come back to the States. You know, in Uganda, it's a very laid-back environment, even in the capital. We come back to the States, and we are just amazed how busy people are. Having our kids in a Christian school, if you're not careful, something could be going on every single night. And sports programs and music programs, and you know, I'm thinking, where's the time for the family? And we had to take a step back and go, okay, we're so used to having our family time every Friday night. You know, we need to focus. Okay, we need to refocus here and get back to our time as a family. But I just don't know how you handle that here in the States. There was a man who said one of the biggest sins we have in America is busyness. Think about that. Busyness. Now, busyness in and of itself is not necessarily wrong, but it's what it keeps you from. It's what it takes away from that creates a problem. Anyway, that's another sermon. That's just extra. I have something I'm going to share with you, and I want to update you and let you know what's going on in Uganda. God has been so good to us in the last 20 years. We've seen God work through three different ministries that we've been a part of. Our first ministry was what Pastor Tyler, and by the way, if we weren't live streaming, I could tell you a lot of stories about Pastor Tyler. But since we're live streaming, I'm going to hold off on that. You can come up to me afterward. But I was his youth pastor for 3 years. And this was in his junior high years. And that makes it even better. So we had a good time eating out with Alton, Gillett, and Liz. And just seeing them again, we knew them back in Midland, Texas. It was just a joy, and Tori as well, being able to talk with them and just laughing about some of the things that we know about Pastor Tyler. But I'll stop there because I don't want to get in trouble here. Anyway, 20 years ago, God led us to the field. It was the first mission team that came from this church that Brother Corey was talking about was in our first ministry there in Masaka. And we had the privilege of seeing a Christian school started. Pastor Keith Stensis had already began that ministry out there. We joined him, became a co-worker with him, helped him get a Christian school going. We had the orphan boarding section going. And then as a national pastor came on the scene, a man who was in training who became the national pastor of the ministry in the deep village setting, we moved out to a place called Mbira. And this was our second church setting. God allowed us to have 80 orphans. The Christian school, we kind of moved because of the land, more land out in that area. And there was about 300 kids that were going to the Christian school, still about that number now out there in the village. And the church clapboard structure was just an exciting time for us. When you get the privilege of understanding what our brothers and sisters in Christ go through in a deep village area, it's pretty sobering, pretty humbling. You know, we were able to see, we call them jajas, but grandmas coming from, and walking, believe it or not, walking from several miles away to come to church on Sunday. Sometimes it would even be in the rain. And they would get to church on Sunday and have a smile on their face. We would sing for an hour and a half. and have a joy in their heart of what God is doing through their lives. They don't have anything. There was a period of about, what, 3 months where we had the privilege of being able to go get our water from the well. Christy had the privilege of washing everything by hand. Just being able to live day in and day out. And I called it our survival days. But it taught us, number one, that we need to be humble. Number two is that God is working and giving a joy in the lives of people who, number one, don't have anything. Number two, living day to day just to survive. But yet that joy still remains when they don't have a lot. I come back to the States. We're in a land of so much. I know some people don't think that, but really when you leave the country, go to a third world country, see how the people live there, you come back here, you realize why we're in the top 1% in the entire world because of what we have here. And yet it saddens my spirit to go around and see Christians just with no joy. And I know there's a lot of joy robbers out there. I understand that. But we are the ones who allow ourselves to be robbed of joy. We have everything we need in God's word. Amen. We have everything we need as the Holy Spirit guides, directs, and teaches us through the word of God to maintain a joy. We have each other, Amen. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it taught me a valuable lesson that time in the village. We were there from 2012 to 2018, and that's when God led us to go to the capital city. And it was a hard move. Our kids growing up in that environment where they had just so many kids to play with, all their friends, the orphans, the girls in their boarding rooms and the guys in their rooms, and they would go at night and have devotions. Just a wonderful place for a group of kids to grow up. And I remember when we told our kids that we were going to be moving to the Capitol, our coworkers, the Tillmans, who are still there, doing a wonderful job in the ministry. Especially after losing our national pastor to a tragic car accident, which was a whole nother story. But the Tillmans were there, and we told our kids that God's leading us to go to the Capitol to help start another church, and our oldest, she's at Pensacola now, our coworkers could hear her just crying because she didn't want to go. Well, you know, as God works in hearts, we went to the Capitol, our kids adjusted there. We were able to help now our co-workers, the Dwyer family, start Faith Baptist Church. God is blessing in that ministry. We're seeing people being saved. We are, and pray for us, we're in the middle of probably the largest Catholic population in the entirety of Uganda. There's a holiday called Martyrs Day where 3.5 million people come from all over the world to pay homage to a group of martyrs, Catholics that died for their faith. And it's just, it bothers my spirit to see people walking from Tanzania, Kenya, Rwanda. They walk their entire distance from their parish to come pay homage to the martyrs in this parish, but they're still lost and going to hell. And we get the opportunity every year. We passed out, I think it was 27,000 tracts we were able to pass out this last year. We missed it because we were here, but got to talk to our coworkers, and we have our Bible college students in the Capitol. They came and were able to talk to just thousands and thousands of people regarding the gospel. So pray for us as we're in the midst of all of that. God's provided. You saw the picture of our church building. COVID has kind of put all of that on hold. We weren't able to move forward for about 2 years because the people who do all the work and the approvals and the government officials were taking a 2-year holiday because of COVID. And so it's taken time to get the ball rolling there. But God's blessing, that ball is beginning to roll. And hopefully by Easter of next year, we're going to be meeting in that new building. And God will begin using that new building for His glory. So thank you for those of you who have been praying for us, and we appreciate that. A quick update on my daughter, and I'll get into that. I have a message I want to give to you. I believe that'll be an encouragement to you. But my daughter Elise, many of you have prayed for her. She has what's called arthrogryposis. Now, arthrogryposis is Latin for curvature of the joints. So all of her joints, muscles from basically top of her head to her feet are affected. Praise the Lord, when she was first born, and this is not praise the Lord, it's what's coming afterward, but they told her that she would never be able to walk. Well, we came back on this furlough, and she had been practicing with one of her therapists there. A wonderful Indian lady, Dr. Patel, had been helping her, and she was learning to take her first steps in Uganda. When she came here to the States, we surprised Grandma and Grandpa, and she took her first steps after the airport to Grandma and Grandpa. And boy, I should have videoed it. I didn't. There were tears flowing. It was a wonderful thing to see. And this is one of my points I'll get to later, but sometimes people say that it's impossible. But we serve a God of the impossible, don't we? God who takes care of things that we never thought possible. When he shows us his will, those areas are accomplished when we think there's no way for it to happen. And so I'm thankful for my daughter, Elise. Continue to pray for her. She has another surgery with her palate. This just developed probably over the last 2 or 3 months, 4 months. Where food is getting stuck up inside. It's basically, to make a long story short, her palate is collapsing in the upper part of her mouth, and it's creating a hole, which is causing things to get stuck up in there. So we're going to have to do something. And Shriners has done a wonderful job with her over the years. And we're going to be going to Chicago. Got a fan down here. We're going to be going to Chicago this time. We usually go to St. Louis, but going to Chicago, and they're going to help do a surgery for Elise, hopefully the beginning of the year. So pray as we do that. That poor girl has been through, I don't know, I can't even remember how many surgeries she's been through, but it's been a blessing to see how God has used her to bring joy in people's lives and also to give us the opportunity and her the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, where we would not have that opportunity in some cases. So God's going to use her in a mighty way, along with the rest of our children. But let's go to the scripture. The title of my message today is The Gift That Keeps On Giving. The Gift That Keeps On Giving. And I'm going to see if I can get this to work here. I might just have to nod. I do have it on. Technology and Uganda don't go well together. I was pushing the wrong button. That usually helps, right? The gift that keeps on giving. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking specifically at verses 15 through 19. And if I can set the stage here for you quickly, Paul is in prison. He's writing to a beloved church. This is the church at Philippi. And we're going to see how this church was one of the only, if not the only church, that really helped give to his ministry there at the beginning. Out of the abundance of their really little, they were a poor church. Some scholars look at this church in Philippi when Paul was getting the help from them, known as the Church of Berea. The ones who were deep into the Word of God, the ones who grew quickly in their faith. But they were the ones that were helping Paul out here. And now he's just writing back to the church at Philippi. He's writing to them to encourage them. He's writing to them to say, thank you. Thank you for what you have done in my life. Thank you for helping me during this time where it's not the greatest time of my life. I'm here in prison. But we know as Paul looked at situations in his life, he always abounded because of God's grace. And I'm thankful for the grace of God in my life, in my children's life. But we're going to see this passage, and I want you to look at it in that lens. And as I talk to you tonight, and really it's not going to be necessarily a preaching time, but a talking and an encouraging time with all of you to say thank you. Thank you for the effort you put in to give, to pray for, to love us as a family, and not just us, but all the missionaries you have in this church, because praying and giving and writing letters, you'll never know how much of a difference that makes. And I'm standing in front of you as a missionary to say it has made such a great difference in our lives. Through the struggles we've faced, the times we've been through, the difficulties that we've gone through. And Paul is telling the church at Philippi here that, hey, you've made a difference in my life. And God's going to bless you for it. We're going to start here, Philippians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 16 together. verse 16. We're going to be in this passage if you're there with me. It says, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Now, in Greco-Roman antiquity, the giving and receiving designated a friendship or a partnership. And that was the attitude, that was the culture. It was reciprocal. If somebody gave you something, it was expected that you were to give in return. We've seen this in Uganda time and time again, and it really is the culture there as well. It's almost an expectation that when you are given something and when you have a friendship, it's a contractual partnership. And there's an expectation there. And we had to learn that. It's not what we're used to in our culture here. But this is the way it was here in the time of Paul's day. And he said, "You gave once and again unto my necessity." This church's partnership meets the needs of God's servant. And praise the Lord for that. You guys meet our needs. Paul, sitting in prison, probably there was times when he was cold, times when he was hungry, times when he was struggling in his mind, in his spirit, wondering what was going to come next. We look at Paul, and he was. Paul as a superhero, but you have to understand, Paul was human as well. There were times that he struggled. This church at Philippi was a church. And you have to understand, when he first went into the ministry, when he left Macedonia, he'll tell you here in one of these verses that we're going to read that this church was the only one that really did this partnership with him. The church at Thessalonica was even bigger, and they had a lot more people involved in that church, but it was the church at Philippi that formed this formed this partnership, this love, this giving. And they sent a man, and we're going to see his name here shortly, that came and ministered to Paul. Traveled many miles to be able to do that. So the church's giving meets the needs of God's servant, both physical needs and emotional needs. And I think you all realize, it's not just physical needs that are met, and we praise the Lord for that. As we traveled our deputation, and Worth Baptist Church sends our support, it helps take care of our food, it helps take care of other necessities. But really, the partnership we have with all of our churches, and it's so important to me and for our churches to realize that it also helps us in our times of emotional distress. Times when we feel like we're not going to be able to go on and be able to handle what we're facing in our lives. I don't know if you've been there recently. We've just gone through COVID, right? There's been a lot of depression. There's been a lot of discouragement, a lot of job loss. We see it in our churches as we're going from church to church. I talk to pastors and they call it the post-COVID time. There is a lot of discouragement that takes place. We need each other. We need the encouragement from one another. You might be facing discouragement right now or depression or struggling in some area of your life, or maybe you're just tired. it's tiring here. There's so many things happening. We need that fellowship and that encouragement from one another. And us missionaries, we covet the encouragement. Paul said he coveted the encouragement that was given by the church of Philippi. There was a time when first 4 years of our ministry where I was just struggling. And if you talk to many men in the ministry, pastors, missionaries, I would say 99.9%, if not 100%, will tell you there's a time in their life where they felt like quitting. Maybe some of you in ministry here today, or maybe some of you just walking through life in your Christian walk, have gotten to a point where you want to put your hands up and say, "This isn't working. There was a lot of expectations that I had, Lord, and it's just not happening here." But you know what? God understands everything you're going through and what you're facing. And let me encourage you with this, that the Word of God is our sword of the Spirit. It is the one area, the book that helps us through our difficulties, that when we hide it in our hearts, when the difficult times come, we're able to quote the Scripture. And that's what God helped me with. The lowest time, really, of my ministry life came within my first 4 years when my expectations were not fulfilled. A lot of difficulties were heaped upon me, and I had the pressure of taking the ministry while my friend and coworker, Keith, was back in the States on furlough. And there was just one situation after another. And I didn't get this in Mission 101 or 102, how to handle some of these circumstances. And I remember sitting on my bed, and I was weeping. My wife was with me, and I saying, "Lord, I don't know if I can continue doing this. I don't know if I can go on, continue doing what I'm doing." And the Holy Spirit just brought to my mind, said, "Did God call you to do this? If God called you to do this, he's going to help make a way for you to sustain the difficulties, give you strength to go on." 1 Corinthians 15:58, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain." The last three words are essential. In the Lord. Can't be me. It has to be in the Lord. That's where my strength is derived from. I will fail. I will falter. I'll fall on my face. And boy, I have many times. God picks me back up. Acts 20:24 was the other verse that really helped me. It says, "None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to do what? To testify the gospel of the grace of peace." I think, what if I would have given up? What if I would have quit within the first year of the ministry there on the field? How much would I have missed? How much would I have missed? Not because of what I can do, but what God will do through me, the souls that have been saved, the children that have started in first grade in our orphan boarding that are now in university and coming back and being a part of our ministry in the Deep Village, helping other orphan kids. Young men that I would have missed having the opportunity to be a part in training in their lives to go out and pastor. I think about that in my mind, and it really grieves me, but it also, I rejoice because I know that through the most difficult times in life, and when I read biographies, I haven't gone through really a whole lot of difficulties. When I read Hudson Taylor, Adoniram Judson, and all these other missionaries that came before me, I really haven't gone through, but yes, it was hard. It was tough for me. But thanks be to God who gave me, who gives you the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I praise the Lord for that. So the church's giving meets the needs of God's servant, both physical needs and emotional needs. Let's go to the next verse here, verse 17. It says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Let me back up here. Paul here, and I love what Paul is doing, because in this back and forth friendship, we can put it this contractual friendship, he realizes, I can't give to you what you've given to me. You've given me food, you've given me clothes. You've sent a man to help me in my difficult time. We don't know what the thorn of the flesh is, a thorn in his flesh that he had. Some people say it was his eyes. Some people say it was a back problem. We don't really know what that was, but Epaphroditus was there to help him in this dire time he was going through physically, yet Paul was rejoicing in the spirit. And he's saying here, he said, I can't give you back what you've given me, but I can do this one thing. I can let you know that there's going to be fruit, because what you're doing for me, what you do unto me, you're doing for God. You're doing for the ministry. You're doing for God's plan and God's will. And there's going to be fruit that's going to abound to your account. Now, it could be physical blessing that God would bring for those that were giving, especially for the church of Philippi. But I believe it was much more than that. I believe it was allowing them to increase and strengthen in their faith as they were continuing to serve the Lord and have those fruits, those eternal fruits, help them in their lives, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness. They would be strengthened and helped through the relationship they were having with Paul. And this is what he's saying. here in this passage. And I want to encourage you, as you continue to give to missions in our ministry and other ministries, is that I can say, hey, we can't give back everything you've given to us. But God will bless, and God does bless, when people give sacrifice out of the abundance of their heart, doing what God has directed for them to do. Paul's saying, it's not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit for your account. Let's go on here to the next for sake of time. The church's giving matters for eternity. If you go back to verse 17 or go to verse 17, it says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. What are the two areas here? We see a fruit that goes off. Fruit that remains, there we go, and filling our account. A fruit that remains and filling our account. There are sometimes, as we go through discouragement, as we look at our lives, as we see what God is doing through us and in us, we get wrapped up in numbers. We get wrapped up in what we can see immediately. But in reality, and I believe this with all my heart, that there are going to be people that we're going to meet in heaven that maybe we gave a tract to, or maybe we talked to at one point, sowed the seed. We're going to get to heaven and be able to see that they accepted Christ. And we were part of that process. We don't get to see that all the time. But that's the fruit that remains. There's a fruit that remains for eternity. And we, as we live our lives as believers, Paul here is trying to encourage the church at Philippi amidst their poverty that you are helping me in my ministry. And what is going on here, the people that are coming to Christ, the churches that are being started, those are fruits that remain. They last for eternity. And not only that, but they are filling our account. They're filling your account. We don't do things because we want rewards, right? I hope we don't. I hope we're not that selfish that we're looking at Scripture and we're seeing all these beautiful crowns that are mentioned for certain aspects of ministry. Yeah, I love the fact of being faithful to the Lord as the Lord directs me and leads me in my life and being able to give back at the feet of Christ. Because of all he's done for me. I love that thought, understanding in that aspect. But I don't go out and give the gospel. I don't go to a foreign field so that I can gain rewards. But I praise the Lord that some of the rewards that we do gain, and this is what Paul is mentioning here, and this is what we understand with this unique relationship Paul is having with the Philippians. It's not just a one-on-one. It is a three-way bond between him, them, and Christ. This is what the gospel is for. And because of that, there are rewards, there are blessings, there are fruits that are filling our accounts. The rewards that we are getting, the blessings that will come, maybe monetarily, maybe physical, sometimes just the Holy Spirit building us up and helping us get through a difficult time in our lives. But I thank God that there is that fruit that continues to exist. I think of names in my mind, and you can think of names, I like for you to do that in your mind, of people you've had the opportunity to maybe see come to Christ or play a part in their life through discipleship, knowing that you're helping them grow in the Word. I think of George William, a wonderful young man that I've had the privilege of seeing come to our secondary school as a teacher, get saved, become our headmaster, our principal there. Almost a photographic memory. I'm almost jealous, if I could use that word, but I'm jealous of him being able to look at Scripture and memorize it so fast. But he's growing in the Lord. I've had the privilege of discipling him. He's going through Bible college, and now he's helping to start a church in the village. Also, he's helping a lot the secondary students in our Christian school that we had started in the village, and they're coming to Christ, and they're growing in the Lord. It's just it's a pattern that continues, and these are the fruits that remain. Sometimes there are seasons when we don't see things happening, but we don't have to look at that. We just need to understand God's called us to be faithful. God's called us to continue, to carry on, to do the work he wants us to do. Fruit that remains, filling our account. Let's go on to the next passage here. Verse 18. Paul says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Another verse that comes to my mind, and I know Paul was thinking probably in his mind, he even wrote through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, godliness with contentment is what? Is great gain. Paul is sitting here in jail. He went through times of plenty, but he's going through times where he doesn't have a whole lot. He's been lifted up because of who he was as an apostle, but he's also been humbled in quite a few different ways. But yet he came to the understanding that it's about Christ in me. It's who I am in Christ. It's living a life pleasing to God. And when I do that, there is a contentment that comes over my life. No matter what circumstance I'm in, no matter how much money I'm making, no matter where I am throughout the world, a person that's living in the village in Uganda that's digging, making $2 a day, can have the same contentment as a Christian, as someone who's making $1 million a year. Sometimes that's hard for us to fathom because we look at, many times here in the West, especially in our culture, we look at success by what we see, by what we gain, and what we get. But God looks at it completely differently. And as Paul even says here, realizing In the lives of the Philippian church, he's saying in the midst of prison, I love the first phrase, but I have what? All. I have all that I need. Amen. Because all that I need is Christ. Amen. He's my sustainer. He's the one that keeps me and helps me. Not only do I have all that I need, I am abounding. I have all and abound. I am full. And a lot of this is out of emotion as well, because he has a friend sent from the Philippian church that has walked 95 miles to come and be with him for a period of time. And if you go back and study in chapter 2, it talks more about Epaphroditus, talks about the situation that's going on. But God continued to work through Epaphroditus, helping Paul cope with what's happening. But it wasn't just a person. It was Christ. It was contentment brought on by godliness, a godly living in Paul's life. I have all and I abound. And I love what it goes on to say here in verse 18. The things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smelling savor, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I love the fact of well-pleasing to God. Paul desired for God to be able to say at the end of his life, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not that you brought 10,000 souls to the kingdom. Not that you've had a church of 10,000 people. Not that you've started 50 churches. But well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. This, what Epaphroditus was doing, what the church was doing for Paul, was well-pleasing to God. When you have a church, and I believe Worth Baptist is one of those churches, I love Pastor Tyler. I talk with him, not as much as I should. But hearing how God is using Worth Baptist to win souls around the world. God is using Worth Baptist to send funds to be able to help churches being started. I was talking with Pastor Josh Farmer, and they support us in Clarksville, Tennessee, and hearing the testimony of how this church helped them in their new church plant and getting the new church building there. What a blessing to hear that take place. This is what you're doing here, and it's for the purpose, number one, of glorifying God, but number two, because it's well-pleasing to God. And we need to be well-pleasing to God in our lives. The sacrifices of the Old Testament, and Paul knew about these very, very well. He was a studier of the Old Testament. He was, some say, next in line to be the high priest through the family that he was in. So he knew the Old Testament well, and he understood what the sacrifices meant. And doing it in the right way, in the correct way, and how when those priests were handling those sacrifices, the aroma would go up to God, in the old, as the Old Testament talks about, and it would be well-pleasing, not just because of the sacrifice, because the people who were called by his name were doing the work the way God wanted it done. They were doing what was pleasing to God. Praise the Lord for that. And I believe Worth Baptist is a church that does that. So the church's giving pleases God. And then finally, we're going to close with this tonight. But my God, one of my favorite verses, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I love how Paul goes in this passage from, was it verse 18, from well-pleasing to God, and again, the focus goes back to, but my God. But my God. Paul is saying this as not as a possession, because we don't possess God. God should possess us. But Paul is pointing out that he understands, he knows God, he studied the Word, he's had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's been on his knees. He's been broken. His pride has been broken. He's been humbled before an almighty God, which gives him the ability, through the inspiration of Scripture, to be able to say, but my God. A personal relationship. In Africa, in Uganda specifically, the people that we minister to, they have numerous gods in their culture and in their history. They do a lot of ancestor worship as well. But inevitably, when you look at all many different cultures and their gods that they worship, there's not a personal relationship. There's not a personal understanding of their God. It's a God they fear. It's a God that, you know, is going to, if they don't do something a certain way, is going to strike them down or is going to give them the plague. Yes, God is a wrathful God. God hates sin. But for Paul here to say, my God, it helps me understand that we have a God, and I hope you realize this, that you have a God that wants a personal relationship with each and every one of you. That's exciting to me. Through trials and tribulations, God is there. He says, I will never leave you, or what? Or forsake you. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. These are Paul's closing words in this chapter. There's a couple more verses that go on beyond this. But basically, Paul, in this friendship, in this partnership, he's telling them, I can't give you what you need, but God can. And because our God is a personal God and he wants you to be blessed, as you are blessing me, Paul is saying, God is going to meet your needs. And this goes to physical, as well as continuing to help you grow in your faith, as well as giving you patience and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness through times where it's very difficult to have all of that. That's all wrapped up into this verse, but my God shall supply all your need. Why? Is it because according to what our next-door neighbor has, or according to what Bill Gates has, or these billionaires that are out there that they can supply us with? No, it's according to the riches of God's glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. That God's going to supply all our needs. This is not a health and wealth prosperity gospel, I'm telling you here. Okay, and that's big in Africa, and really pray, because that's really gaining steam, and we're struggling with that fact and that concept. That if I have enough faith, Christ will give me, or God will give me what I want. It's not what the Bible teaches. But I believe with all my heart, Paul is encouraging the church at Philippi, and this is an encouragement to all of us, that as we continue being faithful and doing what God wants us to do, realizing who Christ is in our lives, and he is the one that strengthens us and helps us, as we sacrifice, as the Holy Spirit leads us to give to the areas God wants us to give to, either in ministry or monetarily, that God's going to supply what I need. And you can fill in the blank what that might be. It's way beyond money. It's way beyond physical necessity or need. It's according to all the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. And that goes down to the basis of who I am as a Christian. in Christ Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, thank you for listening closely today. And I'm going to turn it over to Brother Corey here in a moment. But I hope that you can be encouraged tonight as Paul was telling the church at Philippi how much he appreciated them for what they did for him. I want to do the same in my heart. I hope you got my heart tonight. I want to do the same with you at Worth Baptist for what you've done in our lives and how you provided for our ministry throughout the years. Sometimes giving very sacrificially. I can't say thank you enough for that. But I hope you're encouraged by what Paul is saying here, that through giving, through trusting in God with all of your heart, through doing what God has commanded and wants us to do, through understanding who Jesus is to us, that we have a personal God who we can say, my God. Not in a derogatory sense like the world uses, but in a personal sense because we know he loves us. And he wants to meet our needs. He's a father who cares for every aspect of our life. If you've been discouraged tonight and you're struggling and maybe you just need to say, Lord, I need to put my trust in you again. I need to renew and have a new fervor and energy given to me by you in my life so that I can continue following what your will is for me, following what your word is telling me to do each and every day, being a blessing, being a reflection of Christ to those around me. And boy, does the world need that more than ever now. We get the opportunity for that. So as I pray, and then I'll turn it over to Brother Corey, I want you to pray in your own heart. Whatever the Holy Spirit is talking to you about, you listen, take care of it. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness and your grace. I have seen you do so much, Lord, way beyond my expectation there in the ministry in Uganda and how you're continuing to provide for the needs of the ministry, and the building and the orphans and all the ministries that are taking place. We're continuing to see people saved and lives changed, and those that have been steeped in Catholicism realize it's not by works of righteousness, Lord, it's by grace through faith in you. What a joy that brings to my heart, even right now, to think of those names and see those faces. And I just ask that you'll encourage everyone here tonight. They'll leave here knowing that they can do all things through you who strengthens them, and that you will supply their need according to your riches in glory. We give you all praise in your precious name. Amen.